A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 20th March 2022, Sunday. So we will be continuing our sharing from this transcript book, 36th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. We are at page 18. The mind must have no dwelling. But just as a recap, because I think we didn't have the Sunday class for about 1 or 2 weeks. So we go back two paragraphs before that. So the one before that you can read on your own. We have to start from here. Otherwise it's a bit too many to go through. I continue by sharing, say that is also the reason why I always said, this one you have to bear in mind and remember. When you have developed the right meditative practice or meditation, according to what the Buddha had taught you, it will bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. So remember this. Whatever you experience, it is got nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to transform you as a human being or as a living being, then you are not on the right track. You are doing something else. And if you do this, then you will have right view, because the first power factor within Noble Eightfold Path is right view, right understanding. Then it will condition right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right livelihood or living. Then of course, right samadhi and right sati. Right sati and right samadhi. If whatever you do in the name of meditation make you more egoic, after experiencing all of the fantastic meditative states, and it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to transform you personality-wise, character-wise, and wisdom-wise, then you better check your cultivation. Well, that is not the meditation taught by the Buddha. If your emphasis is only on the jhanic experiences, on the calmness, the peacefulness, the stillness, the fantastic nimitta experiences, and all of the other various type of absorption and one-pointedness energy field, fantastic manifestation of mind, when you reach those so-called deep samadhi or deep samatha concentration or absorption states, mind states, then it is a deviation, because this is not what the Buddha taught. The first 6 years before his enlightenment, the Buddha to be also learned from all those teachers, those meditation, and he did all those energy field thought-based meditation too. That's why he was still stuck, and he knew. That is also the reason why he left them and continued to seek on his own. In a similar way, Master Huineng, the sixth patriarch, via his platform sutta, pointed out to you very clearly that this type of meditation is a deviation. Okay, with this, we shall move on. So Huineng, he is very unique because he was a great being. He was born without the mundane mind. That's why he can teach you the real meditation, which is taking you directly to the true mind. The true mind is our nature without thought. That's why his first hallmark of his teaching is Wu Nian, means no thought. When you reach the state of no thought, means you realize your true mind. And that is the beginning of awareness-based meditation. That's the reason why I said to meditate. You must relax and maintain awareness and don't think, don't do anything. Let the mundane mind settle down and return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, and inner awareness, which is the true mind, so that you can be with that meditative nature. And find out for yourself what that nature is. Because when you realize that, you will come to know why the Buddha said he is not a being. He is not a permanent unchanging entity. He has no duality. He has nothing. But that nature is very, very unique, very beautiful. So all of meditation is to develop the ability to realize that nature within. Okay, so now we move on. The mind must have no dwelling. And so this part is also a very important understanding. He teached by taking the cultivator direct to the true mind. Then from the true mind, he trained to develop the second hallmark, which is no dwelling. When the mind has no dwelling, means it doesn't dwell anywhere. Yeah. And to realize that, you must pass through the second hallmark, which is no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of life, existence, Dhamma. When you are able to realize and penetrate no mark, then you will realize the third hallmark, which is no dwelling. Because whenever the mind dwells, that is where the phenomenal world is. That's where the mundane mind is. Without the mundane mind, you don't dwell. You stay with the awareness nature. You are always aware. Either specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. That is our true nature. That is the meditative mind, the awareness mind. But because we are a sentient being, especially as a human being this time, we need to live life. And there is such thing as life. That's why we need the mundane mind. But we need to understand clearly that the mundane mind is dependent on originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, karmically conditional for us to arise within this existential world. Is an important vehicle and tool connected to our karmic nature and our nature for us to develop the cultivation to locate that true mind and to develop the awakening. So all these are very important. Okay, then I will share further. We will read on. The mind must have no dwelling. The way it should flow without obstacle. If you stop your thought, you turn into dead ashes and rotten wood and become useless like another statue. So this one, I think, is very important to understand. Because meditation is not to force yourself into a conditioned state of mind so that you cannot think. Because the fallacy is, when you force yourself into a conditioned state, it's either one-pointedness, where all the energy flow there, then you cannot think. The mundane mind cannot think. But it's a conditioned state. This mind is not a free mind. So if it's a conditioned state, what happens? There is hardly any ability to understand or live life. Then not only thought cannot arise, the mental hindrance also cannot arise. That's why they are all suppressed. It doesn't mean that you are in that state of no thought. You are ready with the true mind. No, that is not the true mind. That is a conditioned mind. Because that mind that doesn't have any thought is a conditioned state, forced into a one-pointedness state. And that one-pointedness, because it's held on by energy. So what happens is the energy will build up. That's why it becomes energy field. So what they do is from there, when the energy build up, they push it up above to their forehead. Then it continue to develop the very deep concentration or samadhi, or so-called apana samadhi, which develop into all the jhanas, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. You may experience equanimity in the fourth jhana, but there is a condition state. Then to the cultivator or the meditator who is in that state, without them realizing it, they thought they are free, they are without thought. But what they fail to understand is, they believe they have no thought. So what happened? Who tell them there is no thought? Is the thought. So the thought that say I have no thought is a thought. That's why it's still not a free mind without thought. It's still held on by energy field, concentration. So sometimes it's absorption, continuous absorption. You absorb into that object of meditation and that energy becomes very strong. And of course, you can radiate it as metta or whatever. At least that is better, not so bad. But most people cannot understand what is going on. They don't know how to actually release it. So they continue to struggle with it, fight with it. Then sometimes they move it into psychic field. That's how they land themselves into a lot of problems. And sometimes the energy is too strong at the forehead. You are young, your brain is as elastic, it's okay. But when you become older, your brain cell, the artery or what they call the nerves and all those things, they can burst and you will develop a stroke. So be careful when you do all those meditation without understanding. So this particular sentence is very important. The way should flow without obstacle means it's a free mind. If you stop your thought through one-pointedness or continuous absorption, then you turn into a dead ash. But that one cannot live life and rotten wood and become useless like another statue. That's why samatha meditation has this danger. You should instead produce that thought which is nowhere supported. That is where the Dhamma is. Means in a state of awareness. You remember the Diamond Sutta, that state? The mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. In Mandarin, what do you call it? Sing Wu. Why? Or Sing Wu So Zu, meaning your mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. Can you have that type of mind? And that is a very important question, inquiry. If you don't train, there is no way. If you develop the understanding and you train it accordingly, then yes, it can happen. If you can develop that type of mind which has no dwelling, then that is the real meditative mind, your true mind, like I said. Your mind doesn't dwell on anything. The silent mind that is able to have the direct seeing will not dwell. You may know how you dwell. Do you know how you dwell? What is dwelling? The Mandarin word is zu, means you stay somewhere, you dwell somewhere, which is a very good word. Dwell is like you stay somewhere or you live somewhere, like a place where you stay or dwell. Do you know how your mind dwells? How do you dwell? Throughout the day, you arise thought. And you have been dwelling everywhere. How do you dwell? The moment you perceive something through your senses, you dwell there. Can you understand? Then the moment you perceive, you think, and you become heedless again. That's why the silent mind is a meditative mind, and the silent mind, which is sati, is capable of the direct seeing before the knowing. So I ask, what is the definition of sati? Sati is just an awareness before the knowing, means before you perceive, like the baby. So sati is awareness before the knowing. What knows? That perception, that perceive knows. So it's an aggregate of mind. The moment you perceive, you know. How do you know my voice? Because you perceive it. The moment you perceive it, you dwell here. Hence, you are not aware of the outside world. The moment you perceive the Buddha image through your seeing consciousness, that instant your mind will dwell there. The word is, when you dwell, you allow your conditioned mind to condition you into further thinking by saying, hey, this Buddha image is very beautiful, very nice. I wish I could have one. Where did you buy it? So this proliferation of thinking or thought processes, if you are not mindful and not aware, it already takes you off tangent and make you heedless, means lost in thought. You are no longer aware to be with the moment, to understand what is going on. Means you are no longer with the silent mind to observe. You easily become heedless. And this is how dwelling can make you heedless. So the mundane mind dwells everywhere where it constantly perceives and stirs the mind, especially your habitual tendency of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience born of conditioning, because it is so conditioned until it becomes habitual. Throughout the day you arise them, the duality. But when you have the silent mind, the true mind, it is just aware. It sees things as they are. It does not dwell. That's why you can just be aware, aware, aware. No need to know, aware, finish, aware, finish, aware, finish, while in the midst of life. It just flows. Everything just flows. The mind and the phenomena as one. And this is specific phenomenal awareness. It just flows. It doesn't dwell. But to live life, you have to arise your thought and you have to perceive. But when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you can perceive without attachment, without accumulation, and without dwelling on it, without getting lost in it. It is just perceive, aware, then perceive, again, aware, etc. That's what meditation is all about. That is the reason why I used to remind you all that you have to meditate until you can realize and understand all this, so that you can produce a mind, a free mind that does not dwell anywhere. This is Zen, and that is meditation, that is heedfulness or apamada, and you have to be in that state in the midst of life most of the time. That is the real meditation. That's why the real meditation is not what you think or what people think. It's not just about sitting quietly. Okay? I will read on. But before I read on, I would like to share this part which I think most people may not pay attention to. Like I said, as a human being or living being, we have to live life. So we have to arise. We have to manifest. We have to have thought to communicate, to actually do our holy duty. So when you have the wisdom and the understanding born of the meditative awakening and cultivation, you become different. You act not based on memory, which is your views, obedience, and conditioning, or accumulated experiences, good and bad, right and wrong, including all your phobia, scars of memory, insecurity, all this, no more. You act according to your understanding, born of awareness. Means you follow the Dhamma way, the wisdom way. So when you have the understanding, means you have the right Dhamma understanding. You understand nature's law. All the nature's law that governs life and existence. Especially the law of karma, the spiritual law, the law of mind. And law of truth, which is karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. When you understand them, you can develop the peace within the moment. That everything is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. They arise because of past causes and conditions. So if you understand the law of karma and you understand how we function as a human being through Chitta Niyama or the Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling, then you can understand all this movement in life. Then you will come to a clear understanding that when you need to think, you think. When you need to communicate, you communicate. When you need to share experience or explain things, you do it. So the mundane mind is still useful, but they arise through right understanding, means you arise right thought based on right view. Then right thought will condition the right speech, right action, and right way of living life. That's why your right livelihood and living will follow accordingly. Then the four right effort will continuously be developed. And to do all this, you must have right mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. That's why without awareness or mindfulness, you cannot be ever mindful. And you cannot be ever mindful, how can you be heedful? And according to the Buddha, Dhamma Father verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, if you do not train your mind, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So bear this in mind. When you understand all this, you will know how to cultivate. You will know how to develop the practice. Then you will know how to use the mundane mind to live life based on Noble Eightfold Path. That's why if your meditative training does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Noble Eightfold Path means with the awareness that you have, you actually develop the right view through investigative understanding, through the direct seeing and the awakening. So when your mindfulness is very stable, you can see, you can understand, and you can awaken. Then all this truth can be investigated, put to test. Then you realize they stand up to investigation. And this is beautiful Dhamma. So from there, you will know how to live life. You arise the thought that is based on wisdom, the Dhamma way. That's why right view will condition the right thought. And your thought process, if they are wholesome, they are very, very pure, beautiful, virtuous, then you will have the good life. Because these are beautiful mind state that will condition right thought, right speech, and right action. Then the four right effort, leading to right living or right livelihood. And when you have all this ability, means you have developed the Noble Eightfold Path, Because without mindfulness, you cannot start. When you stabilize your mindfulness, it becomes samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are to awaken, to arise the right view, right understanding. Then from there, you use it to cultivate, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. To avoid all evil, you must understand what constitutes evil. Why the Buddha said the three evil roots are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. And why he said to avoid all evil, you must keep the minimum 5 precepts. So you investigate, you inquire, you check. Who are the one that violate these 5 precepts? You will come to realize they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Without these 3 evil roots, they will not break their precepts. So all this understanding let you understand how the Buddha come out with his teaching. How from this right view regards the law of karma, his advice come about. The Dhammapada, verse 183, the famous verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampada sacitta pariyotapanam etang buddhana sasana. So this advice is to take care of karma, you have to keep the precept to avoid all evil. Then cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, virtuous quality to cultivating noble evil path. From right view, you develop right thought, then right speech, right action, and right livelihood, followed by the constant cultivation of the 4 right effort to purify and transform. Then samasati will allow you to develop the awareness to see, understand all this and awaken. That's how you meditate. Then when you have the ability to develop all this understanding, the stability of mindfulness will allow your mind to cease. When you go through the cessation, that is what enlightenment is all about. Cessation of form and mind, the realization of Nibbana, can only come about when the wisdom is very penetrative. Even the sainthood way, a glimpse of it, require very stable initial wisdom. It is not what you think. Then after your initial wisdom become very stable, then you will continue to persevere, diligently cultivate with faith and understanding. Then you stabilize further and transform. Then when your wisdom become very stable, your understanding become very stable, then you can have longer period of cessation. Then the silent mind become more and more stable, more and more clear, the unisoka manasikara. Then from there, your cultivation become different again. From no thought, it will stabilize. Then you will have the insight to awaken to the 3 universal characteristics of impermanent, anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Anicchang is impermanent, universal characteristics of all phenomena. Then dukkang is another universal characteristics of all phenomena, means the suffering state. Then finally, anatta nature. Anatta nature means non-self or empty nature of all phenomena. So all this you will awaken to. When you awaken to, you will understand the second hallmark of awakening. What winning meant by there is no mark of a self cultivating. Well, the form and mind is not what you are, it's not what you think, not a permanent and changing entity, but karmically conditioned, connected to your nature. Yeah. So you cannot say it's totally not you, but it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot be deceived by it. You cannot be deluded by it. So all this understanding is very important. These are the reason why the real cultivation is not so easy. A lot of cultivators fail to penetrate this path. That's why they don't know what the real Dhamma is, the real awakening and enlightenment is. It's not easy. Form and mind is form and mind. Awareness nature is awareness nature. That true nature is that true nature. The awakening, there is no one, no mark of anyone to be enlightened. But there is this nature that can insight into phenomena and awaken. Means the wisdom can arise, can be triggered. Then the nature that is connected to the form and mind will understand all this. That's why that wisdom will stay with the form and mind, because that true mind that is connected to the form and mind awaken to it, insight into it. That's why it's always there. You don't have to remember it after that. As long as the form and mind is still there, that nature connected to it, that understanding will be there, because it is the wisdom born of direct seeing, awakening. That nature will always have the understanding, because it has realized it, awakened to it. Then that wisdom is just connected to it. And because it's connected to a form and mind, you can say the form and mind is enlightened, but it's not you. Enlightened in the sense that after that, the form and mind does not suffer anymore. It can stay above, liberate itself. Yeah. But it can understand the phenomenal world, the conditional world, everything that goes on within the conditional, all the marks and all those things. But in the unconditioned, it also has the understanding, because that nature realized the unconditioned and understand that all these are not real, not what you think. That's why within the unconditioned, there is the condition where everything arises from the unconditioned. Like Hui Neng came to realize, nothing is apart from that self nature, that true nature. From there, all Dhamma arise. So all this understanding is what you need to understand. So hopefully, with this explanation again, this time, this round, the understanding of this teaching is already very clear. Huh? Go back and listen to this again and again carefully, so that it will become very clear, very stable. Then when you meditate, when you cultivate, you will understand. You will not debate. Then you will have a lot of joy. You will transform. You will become different. Okay? So we go back to the sharing in the book. Huh? Okay. This chapter is going to be very good and very interesting. I didn't know this chapter already talked about this. Master Hui Neng said, you should produce a mind, not a thought, which is nowhere supported. Or the mind that has no dwelling, means your true mind, by attracting yourself neither to emptiness or to existence, nor to Dhamma. That's why these are the three marks. Within the conditional. So when you dwell in this, then you will be distracted. Attachment to Dhamma results in attachment to existence, and attachment to existence results in perishing into emptiness. But when you are unsupported, the way will circulate freely. So this explanation is very beautiful for a cultivator who understand. I rejoice with your ability to comprehend such profound Dhamma. Then I explain further. This is Xuanhua's commentary and interpretation. Just theoretically, they will talk about all this. To add to that, my explanation is clearer and deeper. And here you listen, this one is for cultivator who wants to develop further understanding. You neither attach yourself to emptiness is because the word emptiness is not emptiness. And emptiness cannot be understood in this way. And the understanding of emptiness is not an intellectual knowledge, not a concept. Then nor to existence. Do you know what is existence? The phenomenal, all of the phenomenal within our conditioned arising world. If you dwell, attach, and cling, you will get into trouble, for they are not real. And mind make are they? Not to Dhamma, for Dhamma is true. That can allow you to realize the wisdom and the understanding to live life. So all these are very important, deeper and further understanding. Because a lot of cultivators, I realize, especially the Zen tradition, they like this word emptiness so much. So they like to conceptualize emptiness. Then they like to, like, through knowledge, develop the understanding of emptiness. So what happened is, there are a lot of Mahayana book or Zen Buddhism type of teaching or sharing. Then they like to dwell on all this, like the flag and the wind incident. Then the poem of Sun Siu versus the poem of Hui Neng, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. And many of the dialogue between or exchange of Dhamma understanding between Sun Siu's disciple who went to meet Hui Neng and Hui Neng's reply, they were very beautiful. But if you conceptualize it into Dhamma knowledge and try to teach, then it doesn't serve much purpose. Because the penetrative awakening and understanding of that can only happen when you yourself has transformed. When you know what that true mind is, what that silent mind is, and when you have stabilized all those understanding and awakened to the ability to comprehend the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, thereby enabling you to understand the second hallmark of Vinang, which is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of life existence and the phenomenal. Even them. So all this understanding is very important. Then the last hallmark is very difficult, no dwelling. To do that, you need to have very, very stable wisdom and understanding, mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. Then very likely, unless your mundane mind has collapsed, the third hallmark cannot be realized by ordinary cultivator. So this is what you need to understand. Otherwise, it become like Dhamma knowledge being like shared and discussed extensively. But they are not useful because it is not applicable to life. If the Dhamma is truly understood and awakened to, then it is related to life. You can actually integrate into life. Life itself is the living Dhamma. The cultivator who has this understanding and penetrative understanding and awakening can truly manifest and live life. They can have that ability. And that is more important to me. If you can't even resolve your own life problem or situation, how can you help others? How can you say you have understood the Dhamma and penetrated the Dhamma? If certain realities of verse number two can still afflict you, make you miserable, unhappy, or arise anxiety, fear, worry, insecurity, all this The individual can check himself. The form and mind will know whether you have developed the understanding or not. For those who have the understanding, their mind is different, completely free. They will understand clearly, no mark. He know you, he know me. No mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of the phenomenal world, the conditioned world, Dhamma, etc. Even the phenomenal. So all these understanding are very, very different. That's why to check is very easy. You come out into life and find out for yourself. Whatever the condition of life is, whatever the situation that arises within the condition world, can you be free? Are you still fear of death? Do you understand who you are, what you are, what this form and mind is all about, what consciousness is all about, what cessation is all about? Unless you have gone through and realized, there is no way you can comprehend. If you have not transformed, awakened to all this, then what you think you know is just at the knowledge level, at the maybe thinking, contemplative level. It has not reached the stability of penetrative awakening. So this understanding is very important. That's why the cultivation demands a lot of patience, a lot of faith, and you have to persevere. Sincerity, faith and perseverance, very important. Okay, we go on a bit more. 3.2.3. Only truth and wisdom liberate the mind. This is also a very important understanding, a very important point. When you meditate, the main sole purpose is to realize the truth, awaken to the truth, and realize the wisdom to liberate the mind. Nothing else. Not for fame, not for psychic special ability and all these things. So this understanding is very important. So I will read on the sharing. But when you attach to Dhamma, then what happens? If you dwell on it, attach to it, and want to argue about it, we are right and wrong, then you will have problem. You want to be right. So you want to challenge others. Then it defeats the whole purpose of meditation. There is attachment to Dhamma. Dhamma is truth. Truth liberates the mind, frees the mind. It's an understanding. The moment you understand, the mind is liberated. The mind realizes itself and sets itself free. That's how you go through cessation. That's why the mundane mind that realizes itself will cease to be. It sees the delusion in doing all those things, the foolishness in doing all those things. That's why meditation is mainly about wisdom. The moment you understand, you are free. But the moment you don't understand, you remain the same, continuously heedless, deluded. You will continue to hold, cling, and react to sense experience through your views and obedience and conditioning. Because you lack wisdom. You cannot understand truth, the reality. You cannot see things as they are. You see things through your tinted, perceived views and opinion and conditioning from your memories. Your conditioned mind. Your storehouse of consciousness, accumulated knowledge and experiences of life, everything that you hold on to, cling on to, like your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your happy and unhappy moment, means your sorrow, your lamentation, your misery, etc. You hold on to them and accumulate them all. Then you retain them all in your memory. Now you understand why accumulation is suffering. Memory is useful, but it's not for you to store all this psychological rubbish or memory that can give rise to suffering, fear, phobia, deep resentment, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc. So all this can condition your fear, worry and anxiety, because these are all wrong memories, wrong thoughts, psychological memories. That's why I always teach you all to understand what wrong thoughts are, which is more important. What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, etc. When you project your thought, you worry about the future. When you recall the unhappy past, some scars of memory, then it conditions you to be unhappy. It also includes thoughts that condition your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your doubt, which are all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Without greed, you cannot be selfish. That's why all these are wrong thoughts, born of wrong will. When you understand that all these are wrong thoughts, then your mind that understands via this wisdom will enable you to straighten your view. You will not create all these wrong thoughts anymore because they are not reality, like I always share with you. The past is already gone, the future yet to come. So when you project your thought and develop the fear, means you are deluded. It hasn't happened. You go and think and worry what happened if it's not a reality. Then when you recall your unhappy moment, your unhappy past, again, the memory conditions you into insecurity, fear, phobia, misery. And the past is already gone. How come you still cling on to it and hold on to it through memory that can condition you into emotional negativity? How does it come about? Through your wrong view, your wrong understanding. That condition wrong thought, that's why psychiatry, self-delusion is an evil root. That's why you condition wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that make you miserable, condition all the negativity of emotion and all those things. Then when you start to understand all this, the wisdom will enable you to straighten your views. Then you will not create all these wrong thoughts anymore. If you know these are the thoughts that torment you and make you miserable, then why do you think those thoughts? Then you will diligently learn how to develop through right effort and right view. What constitutes right thoughts? What are right thoughts? All of the good and wholesome virtuous thoughts are right thoughts. Thoughts that bring about love, compassion, kindness, goodness of heart, respect, gratitude, contentment, harmony, peacefulness, happiness and joy, etc. are all right thoughts. Apart from the four Brahma Vihara, right thoughts of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy and equanimity, there are also a lot of other right thoughts. Like thought of generosity, respect, contentment, gratitude, sincerity, etc. These are all right thoughts. Then thought of gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, goodness, all these are also right thoughts. The thought of love to help people so as to be a blessing to all is also a right thought. Then to have faith to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. It's also a right thought. To be in the state of awareness, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness is also a right thought. Then to enable one to cultivate the first two or the four right effort, to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen, and to prevent the arising of wrong thoughts you must understand what constitutes wrong thought. Then to enable you to cultivate the third round effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you, you have to understand what are right thought, which you still don't have, like the thought of kindness, goodness, generosity, contentment, good emotion, love and compassion, etc. Just like the Mandarin video which I just sent out this morning for sharing, that was at that time. Huh? What does it say? The first thing you must have if you want to improve your life greatly is what? To take care of one. The word in Mandarin, they say, if you have the vital virtue in you, all of your problems will fall into place and resolve. Mm. Yeah. Yes, pichi. Huh? Pichi. Huh? Pichi means your emotion. Yeah? Your negative emotion. Yeah? Which is your anger, your negativity of emotion, or mental negativity. That's why in Mandarin they say 脾气要好. So this advice is very good. Eh? You must have good emotion. Eh? Mm. Then 脾气好，一切都好. So this one is very good. Eh? Good advice. That's why if you don't have the understanding, you don't have this goodness, this kindness, then every time you get angry, throw your tantrum and become emotional, unhappy, or fearful and aggressive, and hit out at others, you will become evil. All these are evil roots, roots of all evil that will make you evil, lead to coming downfall. That's why it will bring about coming downfall. Your business will fail, your relationship will fail, your marriage will be affected, and you will have problems with your children. Even when you go to your office, you will know how to communicate with your colleagues and staff, interact with them, because you don't have this goodness and kindness in you, as well as this understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path in you. So meditation is all about having the understanding of Noble Eightfold Path. This is right view leading to right thought. All of the good and virtuous thought. You should check your life. How often do you cultivate this right thought? Your gratitude towards what people have done for you. Whether it is part of your nature to thank people sincerely for what they are or what they have done for you, for what they have sacrificed for you. Rejoicing in all the wholesomeness and goodness that people have done for you is also a very important virtue. Be sensitive to others, understand the world, understand fellow living beings, and understand everything else within nature. Have gratitude. Have love and be loved. To do that, you must have wisdom. Only then can you feel for them, so that you are not selfish, not deluded. Otherwise, you will always think of yourself, and selfishness, which is a very strong evil root, will always be there, because the deluded mind can cunningly come back through the back door to deceive you again. We are telling you to consider selfishly, for me or not for me, advantage to me or not, otherwise I don't want to do that. All these are selfish thinking or selfishness. Nothing to do with my family, my business, I don't want to get involved. No advantages to me, I don't want to know. That's why you don't have love. You don't have sincerity, generosity, kindness, and goodness. You are not able to help people. You are incapable of kindness and goodness. That's why such people cannot develop virtue, because they don't have sincerity and they are very selfish inwardly. They always think of advantages and motives. Hence, meditation has a lot to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why life itself is the meditation, where it is only in life you can apply the Noble Eightfold Path factor. And this is real meditation. You cannot develop a mind that is free, that understands and does not dwell, you will suffer. Do you know what will happen when you dwell on your unhappy past? Meaning you hold on to your grudges, your phobia, etc. Do you know the meaning of grudges? In Mandarin, it's pronounced as 仇恨. This one is a very good word. 仇恨. This means you hold on to your vengeance and grudges so strongly. When you understand all this, you will develop wisdom to straighten your view, to reverse all this negativity of mind state. When you understand that all this bring about coming downfall and bring about wrong thought leading to suffering, misery, cause your karmic nature to fall, and they will make you weak and miserable. And when you also understand that you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy, to be happy or unhappy, you have a choice. You will never allow yourself to be afflicted again or become so deluded anymore. That's how you will awaken, and you will choose to be happy and change overnight. This is just common sense, isn't it? And you will not do all those stupid and deluded things again, because the moment you understand you are free, you can liberate your mind. This is real meditation. Okay, can you all follow? Okay, somebody answer can. Good, then. Okay, we stop here. No need to read on. We stop here. This is page 1, page 26. Okay, so I mark this page here. Just relax body and mind completely. Be at ease. Then don't think, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness. The first support, very important, relax completely, be at ease, body and mind completely relax, free your mind, be at ease through relaxation, so that your body physically is free of any tension, tightness or stress, completely free, at ease. Then the mind too, no more problem, because forget about the thought, tell the thought, later, after the meditation, only I can do it. At the moment, I need you to allow me to have the space to meditate, to develop the tranquility, the stillness, the awareness within, so that you can realize your true mind. So relax, maintain awareness. The way I finish, don't try to know, just let the mind settle down. Until finally, it becomes very quiet and very still. You will experience it, but you must be patient. Especially those who have not tried, be patient, have faith, and do it. You will realize it. And when for the first time, when you realize the mind quiet down, become very quiet and very still, there is a lot of joy, because the experience is very unique. Then for the first time in your life, you experience tranquility, stillness, silence, without the thinking, the agitation of the thinking process, the thought. And that is beautiful, because within that stillness, that silence, that peace, that nature is so beautiful. Then ask yourself, who are you? What are you? Without thought. Who are you? What are you? That is what inquiry is. But when you are in that state, just allow it to be, yes, stabilize it. Then when you go through that, after some period of training, that nature stabilizes. On your own, you will understand. That nature will understand what is going on. the form and mind, how all those manifestations of mind arise through the dwelling Paticchasamuppanna. Then this observation, the silent awareness to observe, will lead to understanding, insight, penetrative awakening. Realizing the three universal characteristics, understanding who you are, what you are, and how you become what you are. And all this clear understanding will surface once you have developed this ability to be aware. As awareness is the basis of meditation. For awareness is life. Without awareness, you cannot be heedful. And the heedless are as if dead. That's very clear. That's why you must have awareness. Stabilize it. Then it becomes ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path and meditate. Okay. Yeah, can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness you develop for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness, to stabilize your sati in the midst of life. Than to be heedful in the midst of life, so that cultivation can cover both the former and the daily life to complete your cultivation as a whole. Okay, now you will continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have regarding the meditation or the teaching, and also how to apply this teaching to allow you to develop the understanding. Application of Dhamma is very important. It cannot be applied to life, then this teaching is not the true teaching. The true teaching is very conducive to understand life and to live life. To have the embodiment of the Dhamma, you must be able to apply this teaching. And to do that, the cultivator must develop the Noble Eightfold Path qualities, all the eight Noble Eightfold Path qualities within the Noble Eightfold Path is to be developed. Okay, so now we will open up. Anybody who wants to report meditation?
Thanks very much from no, everybody, I think, because through our continued sharing, and we learn from each other, and Brother Teo keep on emphasizing on the silent mind. And also all the instruction, I mean the sharing of the pointers, I think it's very much clearer now.
Yeah. And after today it will be very clear. I went through the whole thing which last time we have already developed, then I expanded on it some more.
But I actually got two questions asking, but yeah. I don't know whether it's appropriate or not, Abraju.
No problem.
I noticed that now going to Samadhi is more natural and easier.
Okay.
Whereas I call it that you can actually decide rather than last time you can't, right?
Yeah.
So but one now become like, but one time I realized that the samadhi, when you are in the samadhi, like time is like different from our time.
Yeah, definitely.
right?
You will have to experience all this because when your mind is transformed from a heedless thinking mind into a trained mind, which is aware, then time like doesn't really pass by. It is like in a state of timeless. And most of the time, there is no sankara activity. There is no psychological time. That's why when you are in the state of awareness, it is the opposite of people who are in concentration. People who are in concentration, it's like they are in it. To them, it's for a short time only, but actually it can be hours. But when you are in samadhi awareness, that nature is so different, like it's in the timeless. Like time hardly passes by. But when you can stay there with that nature, of course you will perceive the difference. Your one is the thinking mind, heedless, creating a lot of sankara. That's why people who do a lot of this type of heedless thinking or negativity of mind state, who are very heedless, they dissipate a lot of energy from their nature. Their thought need a lot of energy, and when they have stress, it need more energy. They become emotional, it take and draw more energy. That's why they become very tired very fast. And if they don't know how to relax, maintain awareness, to recuperate, they actually can develop problems. They can become very stressful, very unhappy, very miserable. They sometimes cannot sleep and all those things. But they don't know how to relax. They don't know how to return to their natural state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. So all this transformation can bring about a mind that is no longer heedless. That mind is just aware. Most of the time, without thought. And in that state, the time like passes by differently. Because without thought, you don't have psychological time. So most of the time is in awareness. In awareness, it's like the timeless. But most people don't have the stability of mindfulness to be in that state of samadhi throughout the day. When you can be aware throughout the day, you are very different. You become very efficient too. And you can be very sensitive and you can understand many things. You can experience many transformations that will come with that transformed mind. So for your case, I don't know what you mean. Maybe you can elaborate on it. Then I can guide you to see whether you really have that understanding of what this samadhi or not. Because when people use the word samadhi, different people tend to understand it differently. Your hours is awareness space. Wait, after this only you explain, I explain a bit more. Hours is awareness space. Means your mind is completely silent and just aware. Like you say, nowadays you find that you can enter samadhi easier. So entering samadhi is not what people think, because when you are without thought, you're already aware. So if you are in a formal meditation, you say you can be in the state of samadhi very fast, which is very good, because those who are trained, those who have developed the understanding, the moment they lie down or the moment they sit, they are aware straight away. Then their mind is without thought, just aware. Yeah. But in the daily life, it's not easy. In the daily life, unless your sati or mindfulness has become very stable, then you have the wisdom and the understanding to develop this, what we call specific phenomenal awareness. And awareness, spatial awareness without a center. Now, when you are very clear on these two, then your daily mindfulness becomes like continuous. Then you can be in the state of samadhi in the midst of life. But the stability of it is not easy. That one needs wisdom and understanding and continuous training until you become a part of you, until your body and mind move as one all the time. Means your mind has entered sati. When mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Then that time your daily mindfulness is actually samadhi. When that samadhi is actually not the one in apana, that one is in the midst of life. Means samadhi in the midst of life, which is most of the time at the excess level, which is upajara samadhi. That means that awareness, that mindfulness is stable enough not to lapse into heedless thinking, not to like go into deep samadhi, or what they call apana samadhi, to enter the excess concentration, to go into deep concentration or absorption or whatever. It has not gone in yet. It has not become a conditioned state of mind. It's still a free mind. But it is exactly in equanimity. It doesn't over develop that samadhi. So this is where the daily mindfulness type of samadhi can come about. So now you can explain how you and what you mean by your mind can enter samadhi easier. Is it the former or the daily, and how you do it?
This experience that I'm going to share is actually in the morning, early in the morning, about 4 a.m. Yeah. That's my usual sitting meditations.
Okay.
Then I normally I start with sitting first.
Okay.
Then I with the quiet mind, I go for lying meditations.
Okay.
So that will normally take me 1 hour.
Okay, that's good.
But one part this time is slightly different. I sit and I find that very easily, it's very quiet actually. Then after that, when I just aware that there is a total silence. Then after that, when I come out, I usually is a half an hour roughly, I will know the time my habit is set. But this time, I just felt that I seated only for a while only. But when I look at the clock, it's already 1 hour.
Oh, okay. You continue? Yeah.
So that's why I feel that how come I'm not aware of the time that in the physical clock and
do you know why or not?
Yeah.
Do you know why or not? Yeah, that one is apana samadhi. You went in already without you knowing it. That's why your awareness is not there. To you, it's like short moment, but it's already hours. Your case is only 1 hour. Last time I told you the first time I did it, I don't know meditation, but I listened to Chief Reverend and look inside. So I went into my forehead, which I don't know that time. I don't know that nature is in the heart area. So I went into one-pointedness. Then I focused. Then I was like, at the most, half an hour, because just doing the usual thing. Then my mind was very calm, very still. But I look at the clock. It was 4 hours already. I sat at midnight when my roommate sleep. I hear him snoring. Then I sat. Then when I come out of it, it was only half an hour at the most. To me, it's maybe 10, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most. But it's already 4 hours. And I don't feel the leg pain or anything. And there is apana. Means we went in already. And luckily that time I was doing anapanasati, because naturally I am very good at anapanasati. Then the anapanasati become continuous absorption. I went into the absorption, the conditioned state. That's how time like passes by very like it's only a short moment, but it's already hours. Those people who do samatha and absorption and one-pointedness, samatha type of meditation, yours, are you doing anapanasati?
Sitting.
Yeah.
No, sitting normally I use awareness.
You can be using awareness and that thing is like short moment means you doze off. You must have doze off or blank off.
No, gradual, because usually
if you are aware that time, mm-hmm. like don't pass by. That time is like sometimes you there for only 5-10 minutes. Yeah? Like yes. That time cannot pass on. Then sometimes you meditate very long already. So you have the awareness is aware there. But you look at the time, hardly pass. Because when you are aware, it's the timeless. No psychological time, you understand? So it's the opposite of those who went into apana. Or they call it the mind become blank. Blank is you actually blank off your mind. You, without you knowing, you are in that calmness. That's how the energy field and the thought based on they do it. But the one that actually blank off on is because they went into absorption. The one that go into one-pointedness on normally, the energy build up very strong. But the one that go into absorption on, you blank off your mind. Then you completely like not there at all. And that one is apanahare, but that one is better than the one-pointedness. That one is better than the one-pointedness. So, based on what you explained, you must have gone into that assumption, which is the mind blank on. This, it doesn't have any thought, but it goes on. Then, like you described, you think it's a short moment, but it's already 1 hour. But if you are aware, for 1 hour, the awareness won a lot of clarity. It's totally different. You have maintained awareness, not to say 1 hour, your 45 minutes or 30 minutes is already very relaxed, very aware, and the mind is free. And every moment of awareness, you can understand. But when it lapses into the unconscious, there's the mind going. So sometimes it is also possible when you do awareness, then it lapses into the unconscious. And most of the time, if it happened that way, that person will actually snore unless their respiratory thing is such that they won't snore. Then you maybe don't know, you just go in. But most people will know. So the awareness based on when the body is very relaxed and the awareness is very natural, the breath initially is not subtle yet. So this one will trigger off the snoring because it is not a controlled movement. The respiration is natural and it happens naturally. That's why you trigger off the snoring. Then normally we are aware straight away. That's why a lot of people who went into the unconscious is because they already lost their awareness, they don't know. So that one is also possible. So initially when you do, that one is possible. But for you, you have done it for quite a while, so not likely. Not likely. Unless you don't know what really that thing is, and you didn't really completely relax and maintain awareness for that duration, then you lapse into it. Means either you are the type that doesn't snore, or you snore without the awareness.
Normally the snoring will come when doing the lying meditation. It can, but this sitting one normally it don't.
That's why sitting one very easy to go into apana without you knowing it.
Yes.
You blank off your mind and you go into the absorption no thought state very fast. But that is better than one-pointedness. That's why I ask you whether you are doing anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath until it becomes very subtle, or you focus at the nostril and you blank it off. If you don't want to know, you just blank it out. And that one becomes absorption. Then the continuous mindfulness will develop absorption. You will absorb into the breath. Then you blank out. Sitting has this problem. But it's okay. To experience it, it's okay. And you feel very good. Then after that, you feel very calm, very relaxed. And you can also feel like you have recuperated. Yeah, that type of blank off absorption can actually rest the body too. When you feel very good, when I was young, I did the Anapanasati a lot during my university day after I went into the 4 hour. And I can really map out very strong that time. Then my mind very strong and I recuperate very fast. That's why that time I like didn't age. Then after I graduated, I came out to work. When I was 30 over years old, maybe 10 years later, I was still very young. I don't really age because of that absorption energy. Then my that absorption, when you go in, no thought also, no sangha, the build up of energy is different because it's absorption. Then that one, you can actually in the state of samatha, without any thought. Then that one, when you come out of it, you can read it, metta and all those things. So that one is really good for recuperation and resting. So during the early days, before I shift over to daily mindfulness and develop the awareness base, I was using that Anapanasati absorption continuous. Then I went in, I blank off my mind, and I feel very calm, very still, without thought inside there. That one is still apana. So it depends, you have to find out for your own how you do the sitting. So the thing that you have to be clear is, it is awareness based, you will be aware throughout that period, and you will like very long. Sometimes even the awareness itself, initially, especially when you go through it, 15 minutes already very long. It's like you have been meditating very long. But then when you open your eye, you check, hey, time hardly passed. Because you are in that state of timeless, no psychological, no thinking. You don't feel tired, you are just aware. So these are the possible scenarios you have to find out. That's why I say you have to describe what you mean by you can enter samadhi very fast and time like pass by different. So based on what you explain, you must have went into the apana, the absorption type, where you are not focusing, you are not concentrating. Did you realize you blank off your mind? Like you don't want to know?
That time I don't think so, because I still
because you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware inside there with the nature, or you lapse into the unconscious and the subconscious. Then you blank off. It's either or. If you say like
I will pain check on that.
You have to investigate on that.
Because
based on what you describe, you must have blank off. You don't want to know. You just going.
Could be. Because there's only one, but before that, it has the this one actually. That one, I don't quite understand. Is like
never mind. You ask. You will help you.
You sit and you aware of all the morning noises.
That one is lying down or what?
No, sitting.
Sitting. Okay. Sitting means that so-called awareness is still there. You can hear all the same, means you are at a conscious level.
But after that, you will come to a stage that is you can actually aware of totally no movement, inclusive of the sound.
That one is good. That one is the Monday mind has actually become very subtle, settled down, and it has become the true mind. So you will have the awareness because you are with that nature, and that nature is aware that there is no sankhara, no activity, nothing. And this is the true mind that you're supposed to stabilize.
But Brajo, how yeah. come, okay, for the mundane mind, for the internal, our mind, I can understand that when it comes to this
not
stage,
understand. That one is your conscious mind. You understand what is conscious mind and the awareness or not? Awareness is before the knowing.
Yeah.
The conscious mind only can know, understand or not?
Yeah.
Means you are using the conscious mind.
No, Brajo, you
are not completely silent.
No, you see, that when I meditate, right?
Uh-huh.
You see, I try to explain this way. When
you
I meditate,
meditate,
you see that the noise, everything, you aware, everything you aware, okay? Your mind, your mind reacts, also you aware.
Okay.
And when I come to one stage, it will totally still.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When you say you are aware, you are actually conscious at that time. Yeah, your mind has not become quiet yet. That's why you say later on only when the mind becomes like very quiet, then you start to experience that. So I say that is good. That is the true mind. But when you are conscious and you say you are aware, you are conscious. Just the perception is still there without you knowing. Otherwise,
yes.
How can you know all those things?
Yes.
But awareness is before the perception. Means aware, finish. Means I don't even want to know what that thing is. It's just aware, finish. Aware. You can aware, perceive, finish. Aware, perceive, finish. But that state is still not the stability or sati. You have not realized that complete silence, stillness. That's why I say just let things be. Relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know too much. Initially, when you hear in the lying down meditation, like in video, this by Shaykh in the early morning, it's because he do the lying down meditation. Mm-hmm. When they do the lying down meditation, it's completely aware and still. Then when it happens at the senses, the tactile consciousness or whatever, it just trigger off, aware, finish, subside. Aware, finish, subside. If they want to know, they can know. Unless they want to know, they continue to maintain awareness. But it's not easy. Because most of the time, initially, when you do it, you will lapse into the unconscious form. Means your mind actually went into the subconscious and the unconscious. That's why it was snoring. So initially, at the first snoring, the awareness come back. Then you maintain awareness. That's why the maintaining of awareness got to go through a period to stabilize all this. Then until later on, that stability or awareness is there. You can just relax, maintain awareness, then the mind becomes very quiet. Then you can see the sankhara activity slow down very fast. Initially, maybe it takes about 5-10 minutes. But later on, immediately, within less than 10 seconds or 15 seconds, it's already that true mind. That's during that time, your awareness nature becomes very stable. Then you can, like the Buddha say, those people who use the, they call it the pure awareness jhana. Now they talk about the two type of jhana. The pure awareness jhana, they say, you can decide when to go in and when to come out. And that is what the pure awareness jhana is all about. Means you don't need to wait for a while for that awareness to come in. Means your stability, your understanding, all that, the moment you are aware, is already there. That's why they can just relax and maintain awareness and stay in that state. That state is the silent, the awareness. They don't try to do anything, they just maintain awareness. And then from there, through that silent, they investigate. They understand, because by not doing anything, by just maintaining awareness, that nature understands many things, because it can be aware of all the happening. That's why you will start to see your mundane mind activity, how it try to perceive, how it try to know that, how it proliferate and think and develop all those views, opinion and conditioning. That how from memory, that's how you see through the awareness without interfering, allowing the habitual mind, the mundane mind to operate on its own until you understand, then you straighten your view, then this thing become like naturally slow down. With you understand the no mark, no meaning, everything, the three universal characteristics, then it ceases to have power over you. Then this sankhara movement, the habitual tendency, all cease. Then the mind become very natural, very quiet. You want to know, it can know. You don't want to know, it doesn't know. It just away. That's why the whole lot of meditation become very different. It's just awareness. So this is how you slowly transform and going. Luckily, you share all this and ask. Otherwise, it will take you quite a while to find out all these things. So now you start to understand, if you are doing sitting, most of the time you are actually with a conscious mind, not really awareness yet. Then until you reach that state, like you say, suddenly you can feel that you are very quiet, very still, then like no more movement. That one is very good. That one is the true mind. And you have to maintain that. But when you know that, the thought will start to arise again, or you start to become curious, hey, what is this? Then the movement will come again, the activity will come again. Then it defeats the purpose. Means you are at that state where your silent mind is about to appear and become clear to you, but you miss it because you go and do something to it, because you want to know and you want to like do whatever that your thought tell you. That's how it become like that state is no more. But that state can only continuously arise when you don't try to know and don't try to do anything. Just maintain the awareness, away. Then if you lap into the unconscious or subconscious or semi-conscious, the snoring normally will happen. Otherwise, after a while, when you come out of it, then you will realize you have lapped into the unconscious. But it's okay. If you want to sleep and rest your body, you can lap into the unconscious. You can just go to sleep. But if you want to maintain awareness, to develop awareness-based meditation to stabilize it, then you stabilize it. Initially, you need to stabilize it until it has become very stable, until it has become a part of you, until your mind enters sati. The mind entering sati is very important. But after that, when you come out of the formal meditation, even sitting also same. Because when the mind enters sati, means your anapanasati or whatever, it becomes very subtle, very still, like no more movement. Everything like quiet, tranquil, still. Not only the thought no more, your object of meditation, your vibration, everything becomes very quiet. And then the mind enters sati. Then the mind is aware. And that is the mind that can develop the daily mindfulness. Without the mind, daily mindfulness cannot be stable. You can try, but it cannot. I realize the mind must enter sati. Then after that, the cultivator will know every moment, every instant, every movement is in sati. Your movement, kaya, the awareness and the kaya as one. Then after that, your hearing, the phenomenal and the awareness as one. Your smell, your taste, all become very sensitive. Then when you open your eye, when you move, not only kaya, your specific phenomenal awareness of the thing you see is there, like the moving car. It's not the word, the moving car. The awareness and that phenomenal move as one. Then you realize you not like last time. You don't think, you don't chatter, you don't verbalize, you don't do all those heedless things anymore. The mind is like very quiet. It's like aware, one with everything. Then it becomes different. Then it can see its movement of the sankhara, the thought process, the memory, the recalling, or whatever that habitual thing that one do that movement, is aware. Then when it has enough of this wisdom and understanding, the energy is there, the pure energy, then all this thinking starts to dissipate because no more meaning. Think also like that, don't think also like that. That's why the sankhara slow down, until finally you hardly think. Most of the time throughout the day, you are just aware. That's how the daily mindfulness becomes very stable. Then after that, not long, your wisdom reach a level where you can experience a glimpse of cessation. And that cessation of form and mind is not the lapse into the unconscious one. The lapse into the unconscious one is still the mundane mind, the conscious mind. But the glimpse of cessation, which is Nibbana, that one is born of wisdom when the form and mind ceases. Yeah. It realizes the unconditioned. Then even a glimpse, the form and mind that went through will understand profoundly what that thing is. That this five aggregate is like that one. It can cease. Then when it come out, it will understand what that thing is. But when you go in for longer period of cessation, then the Nibbana experience, that the form and mind that goes in, is the wisdom very stable already. Very stable until we understand things also like that, don't think also like that. Then the sankhara or everything slow down and become very still. And during that time, they can like throughout the day in the state of awareness. They are like constantly aware or fully aware. So fully aware, constantly meditating, that will be the mind state. And that is what heedfulness is all about. So this whole training will bring about this type of transformation that make your mind very different. That's why in between, when all these things happen, it's not easy to get it right and understand all this movement. That's why luckily you share, then I have the condition to explain all this. Because I seldom want to go into all this, because not really everyone can develop those understanding. So your one is different because you actually stumble into all this and you do all your own movement. That's why when you started, you say you're not sure whether to ask or not to ask, but you are not sure. It's okay, because if you don't ask, you cannot develop the understanding. So if you listen to this again, it will develop another understanding that you have not been exposed to. Then you find out for yourself. You don't have to believe what I say. You experiment it yourself. You do it yourself. Then you will come to understand. Because for your case, if you go through this type of thing, means in the past, you haven't done this type of meditation before. This could be your recent encounter. So the awareness-based meditation, the movement is very different from normal conscious mind, thought base, and all these things. You have some form or experience of what that silent mind is, but you don't know what that thing is yet. You don't know how to stabilize it. You don't know how to meditate until the mind enters sati. Then everything is in sati. So all those you still need to understand and try out and find out for yourself. And when you are in that state, I can give you a hint now, because it's about time you understand this. your awareness becomes so clear, all your subtle mental intention or your whatever mental intention, most of the time is very fine, very subtle, that last time you cannot see your, now you start to see. But provided your daily mindfulness is very stable, means your mind must have entered faculties first. Then when it come out of the form of meditation, this mind that enters sati become very different. Where is in sati? Everything you do is in sati. At that phase, you have to go through. Unless you go through that phase, it's very difficult for you to comprehend what I try to share with you. So this is what is needed for you now. Yeah. Okay?
Right. Thank you, Bradio.
Yeah, yeah. Sadhu.
Thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No. I have to be more mindful about my states of mind.
Ah, you investigate yourself, you don't worry, because
yeah.
Like I said, very likely you have not done this type of awareness-based meditation before in your past.
No, what Brother Teo mentioned, the daily mindfulness, that one I almost understood. It's only during the sitting that few times that you said I experienced three times this awareness just now that I mentioned to Brother Teo. One is the first time during Iputosan at the busy street that time. And then recently happened few times. So this one, actually during the meditation itself, I'm fully aware of the mind state. But only when I come out, then I start to question myself, how come during that stillness, the environment which is so busy also still? That is, I cannot understand.
I already told you, when you are with the conscious mind initially, you are actually conscious of things. You are not aware. But the real awareness is aware, finish. Aware, finish.
Yeah.
So yours is somewhere in between before you go in. And you depend on some form of apana samadhi to go in. Actually, upachara to wish apana to go in. When you realize that silence, that tranquility, that is actually very good. Means your awareness has become very quiet and very still until the thinking is no more. But you cannot stabilize that and let the mind enter sati. That's where sometimes when people reach there, then they start to do their own thinking and all those things, then this thing gone. But sometimes before you reach that, you lapse into the unconscious. You lapse into the unconscious without you knowing it. The snoring may be there, but you cannot hear because that may be your body tired. And most of the time when your body tired, initially, you lapse into the unconscious, you don't know one, but you have a good rest. Then after that, you come out of it. You think you only do the meditation for a while. But you look at the clock, it's already 1 hour. That is apana. That is the mind switch off. Otherwise, it won't. Otherwise, the awareness is like, didn't pass by. It's like the timeless, like time hardly passed. That's like the awareness base is very different. The awareness when the mind is aware. In fact, 5 to 10 minutes is actually a lot of thing inside there. The awareness is aware of many movements. But most of the time, it doesn't want to know. It's just aware. And that type of meditation, not paid, not long. That's why I say you can be aware for even initially 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes. It's already very good. Only people who have stabilized it can develop the awareness for 30 minutes. And later on, 45 minutes. Then mind enters deep. When mind enters deep, you have to come out of it. When you come out of it, the form of mind know itself, right? How come? Everything is different now. Body and mind move as one. The awareness is there already. No need to do anything, right? Because no more thinking. Then the mind is in sati. That's why every moment of seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile. And these six senses, they can move very fast, and yet the awareness is with it. That's why I say no matter how fast the awareness is with it, even the turning pen and all those things, it can be aware. Because what it do is, the mind is in sati, it's just silent. That everything within the phenomenal movement is one with that thing. That's why it can be in the oneness nature. Spacious awareness without a center. When you don't want to know specific awareness, means you silent everything and without a center, that nature is one with everything. Yeah. But when it's in specific phenomenal awareness, because this nature is still silent, that's why all the movement, all the activity outside, the awareness is with it. Same activity, the movement, means awareness and phenomena is one, like the moving car or whatever, even the nature's vibration, the plant, the leaves, the flower, or whatever, or any of the phenomena within nature, the awareness is there. That's why when I share or what, any of you all sitting in front of the movement, my nature can see because it still is aware. Although I speak, I share from the heart. I don't use my thought. I share from my nature. That's why the awareness is still there. But that one not easy. That one you need a lot of understanding and stability. Your mundane mind must collapse. Before your mundane mind collapse, people cannot do it. Because when the mundane mind collapse, there is no thought, no thinking, nothing. It's just aware that nature shine for. And the nature is what the thing is. So all the time is with that nature. So that one is a very different understanding, because only great being had that type of mind. That's why they use the mind of Bodhisattva, like in the Wuliang Yi Jing, the opening statement. On virtue, the chapter is described how the great beings, the bodhisattvas, their mind is always tranquil, still, away. Then it is full of understanding, wisdom, energy, and all those things. So these are the things that you all need to develop as understanding. Then, like what you explained just now, you may have to find out on your own. Then hopefully through your own investigation, you will start to understand.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Yes. I think my sharing is up to you.
Yeah, maybe I share this one particular experience lah, yeah. I was doing vacuum the room. So but before that, okay, never mind. I say the vacuum the room first. So it so happened I was holding the hose, right?
Yes.
To vacuum, right? Then there was this small little mosquito. Mosquito flying around near the hose, the end part of the hose.
Yeah.
Right? I was seeing it, and then I aware of the evil chongdong, how to say
that? Sado.
Chongdong, I want to just
Wow, very good. Very good. Means that one is still inside there, haven't rooted out. Yeah, very good. But immediately you aware.
I aware of the chongdong. I don't know how to say in English.
Don't worry.
The evil chongdong, I know it's evil.
It's negative. But very good, because immediately you aware already. Means your stability of awareness is there for you to catch it. Otherwise, you cannot catch it on. Otherwise, like you say, pia already, or try to do something.
Yeah, so I aware of the chongdong. Then the hose is near to that mosquito. So I think, ayo, don't know whether sucked in already.
That compassion will arise, yes.
So after that, after I just turn the hose around and then, oh, the mosquito still flying around me.
Yeah,
so I was relieved.
Yeah, relieved. Oh, very good. Wow, sorry.
So I was relieved and I said, wow, thank you for not such a bad karma.
Mosquito to die. That's good.
I can see the evil chongdong of the one killed, want to suck the mosquito.
Yeah.
But luckily, I failed.
Yeah.
Luckily, very I
good.
Failed.
No, because your awareness with the understanding stop it. That's why this is what the Buddha meant by the second right effort. The right effort to actually prevent the arising of that wrong thought or wrong action. Because that evil intention is there, which is at that spur of moment, because at the conscious level, when you are conscious and perceive it as a mosquito, then that movement inside, which is a very strong, old, subtle, they call it the habitual tendency to react and all things. But because of the awareness, it's straight away aware, then it ceases to have that continuity of movement. It's from that subtle mental intention of negativity, it cannot become like transgression. It cannot manifest as transgression. It's the awareness develop the ability to cause that thing to cease, because it knows this is negative tendency. This will lead to evil. Just like Alicia, where she went through depression and all things, the moment she saw this negative mind state, she already aware that it seems to be out and now is it. You have caused me enough problem over the years. So as stability of mindfulness and awareness and wisdom stabilize, the cultivator will have that ability. Then later on, it will become even more beautiful, even more sensitive. I remember during the end of, I think, 89, 90, that time when I had the understanding of it, I was sweeping the floor. Then suddenly, there were some ants there. You know? Then when my broom went and sweep, actually, I sweep it very slowly, you know, very softly, you know. But my awareness saw how the ants had the fear and all those things, you know, because it's like to them, it's like they have been blown off, you know. But actually, I sweep very slowly. You know. Then the awareness of it, I knew, you know, this one has karmic one, you know. Cannot. That's why after that, I refused to sweep. I let it stabilize there, then I go and look for a dustbin. Then I sweep it into a dustbin. Then I throw it to the rubbish dump. Miss, radiate love and metta towards the ants. And you become very sensitive. That a lot of things you cannot do already. Because you can see how they develop the fear, the anxiety, and all this has coming on. But because when I did the sweeping, I didn't know. It was the first time I experienced that. My mind became so sensitive, so aware. But I knew that it's coming already. So I don't want to create more. There is no intention to harm or to kill. But you become so sensitive, you know how they suffer. Actually, even though they are just ants, but that fear, that being swept away, blown away, all the same. You can feel them, or their consciousness is like And this one, you have to pay back one because you reap what you sow. So although it's very subtle, yeah, involving minute living being or creature, but all this can happen because our mind has become different. It has become sensitive. And I cannot like come up with a negative intention or even those habitual tendency is gone. But now I develop sensitivity. That's why you will have this ability later on. After you have completely clear all this, then you root out the subtle habitual tendency or those things. Then through the stability of understanding, your mindfulness become more and more sensitive. Then later on, a lot of things in life, in existence, in whatever you do, you can feel them. Then you will know. Then you will not be able to cause even the slightest harm or whatever to all this thing. Then that day, I think my daughter shared a very good example. I wish I rejoice after that. Yes, she was handling my son's dog. I said, if like that cannot train the dog one. The dog is not scared of her. She very good nature. So the dog, actually, when she took her out for the walk and the what you call they put the tree like that. She that time collect the food and dispose. The dog was very nice, very obedient and all those things. Then when she come back, the dog still very good. That's why she said she had a very good experience. But then later on, the dog like playful, want to play with her. Then he said, no. Then this dog, you know, animal is animal. It started to like bite, you know. Not really bite, without the dog knowing it, because, you know, it's not a beagle. I think, maybe you know, your daughter also got a beagle. He like bite the trousers. But then my son, because he trained the dog very well, I said, no. And then my daughter later on also, I think, managed to get this dog understand. But this dog didn't really, he want to make friends with Sui, but Sui didn't. Then I said, if he don't listen and bite you like that, you must train him. You need to whack you whack lah, but not to harm him lah. Like, you know what she said? She said, I don't want to experience that karma. I want to have good. Even if he becomes a dog in future, she want to have good owner who will treat her very well. So I rejoice because that is what sensitivity is. Because when you feel for others, you understand karma. Karma is you reap what you sow. Whatever you do, come back to you. So how you do it depends on your understanding. That's why when you understand, you will do it differently. But for me, I don't want to have all these pets because it's not the time for me to do all this. Well, my life, this life is spiritual, is very different. But for them, they are still young, they like this, having dog and all those things. It's good. It's for them to go through in life, to experience. So hopefully this will help you, Amy.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, just now I wanted to say before this thing happened, the vacuuming, the night before, there was one mosquito near my head. When I was sleeping. So exactly like what Brother Teo said, knowledge bind. You see, the knowledge or the memory.
Yeah, perception. You perceive the mosquito. Yeah,
the knowledge or the memory being disturbed, the aversion.
The aversion.
I think that the chong tong is due to that. When I reflect or contemplate, why I have this chong tong of like want to kill the mosquito, like
very
want to
good.
In the mosquito, right?
Yeah.
I think I did, you know. I think I did, you know, the house is near the mosquito. So I just go near the mosquito, very near. I immediately I felt I immediately another thing come in, lost. When the mosquito,
the wisdom part, the understanding come in. Yeah.
So I felt so relieved. So I talked to the mosquito. Thank you for testing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a test. It come and test you, which is very good. Very good. Knowledge by on that one will help you. That one will help you. Because we realize a lot of things that we have as knowledge, that one actually bias, it causes the conditioning. And most of the time, like you hear this mosquito song. So we already since young have the conditioning to perceive them as biting people, can lead to like malaria and this mosquito, or the other type of mosquito can lead to dengue and all those things. So that knowledge trigger off the reaction, because the selfish ego that fear all these things will trigger off. Then you realize this one not easy to root off, to root out. So recently also I think there are some like give us the condition to let people understand. They got bitten by mosquito. My elder brother also kena. Then was it June Farah today? Yeah. His leg was it mosquito a bit precious. So you see, I forgot already, there's somebody who tell me about this mosquito one. Ananda, luckily Jayanta was here. I said, don't need lah, because he got a new job, the housing area, where they got security and all those things. So the boss want him to go and do the inspection at the fencing area, early morning, a lot of mosquito one. Wow, she could not bite until what's it? The hand or what? Oh, very severe for that one, because these are really they call it the jungle mosquito, the one like very thirsty one, and new blood, very nice, especially another one. So I say the other way to consider is to donate and as well as metal, because why you go and fear, malaria, dengue, forget about it. Then, like he said, the reaction is that, I said there are many ways to actually mitigate all this. Wear a long sleeve shirt, understand that? Then wear proper attire and all those things. Then radiate love and metta with good mind state. Then need to endure, because you are so big and a mosquito so small. But if you really meant to be kena and this or wanna do that. But normally most of the time hold on, because this is what your job is. I remember in the early days doing survey engineering as an engineer, I also went to jungles before, forest before, secondary forest, and do survey. At certain time I realized the mosquito will come out and look for food. Then when the day is like after 10 o'clock onward, morning to 11 something or 12, then no more, the mosquito is gone. But before that, they come out. So all this you can understand. But for me, funny, strange. Most people tell me they gonna bitten by mosquito. Most of the time, the mosquito didn't disturb me. Because when I was going through the cultivation, I developed a lot of metta. Then I realized the mosquito didn't like my blood or what, I don't know. Maybe the vibration different or what. It doesn't decide. Then I remember many occasions, even we on spiritual trip in Thailand or what. Sometimes at the retreat center or at night, we all have a discussion. You know, we sit outside. That one is a, they call it their monastery area, way place, where there is a lot of plant, a lot of tree. Actually, a lot of mosquito and I home. There are a lot of people complaining, imperative, we better move in. I say, why? They say mosquito a lot. Huh? I say, how come I don't feel it? I was sharing, and then my, and all this thing. So, cultivator will go through all this. So for you, knowledge bind, that one very good. I went through it in the early days of my cultivator. That's why I saw it. In my mind, I saw how that knowledge to the experience from the past developed this aversion. Especially initially the mosquito, the insect. You know, when you perceive that one, you know it's mosquito. And last time when I was young, immediately I want to smack it and kill it. Sometimes it hit it. Then I knew later on when I developed this awareness base and I developed the understanding, I never even harm or chase away a one. I at the most blow it gently. Blow also tend not hard. So at some time, enough, let them eat. Okay, enough, go. So it's the understanding that transforms you. You become different. Last time, cannot. This time, mosquito with that type of sound, you will look for morphine or the rig cycle. Then you want to spray it and all that. But nowadays, no more. At the most, like we want to keep our house clean, we do mosquito netting. If we need to like get the pest control to help us to clear certain pets, you have to do it, you have to do it. But you will not consciously want to harm them and do all those things to them. So very good, English, salute to you for giving rise to this condition to share all this. Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah, sadhu, because now I can understand what this evil tendency.
Yeah, habitual tendency, the evil tendency of the mundane conditioned mind. How it works and all those things.
How it works, how it came out and then...
Like I said, trace the origination factor. So through your senses, you either see or you hear, then through memory you recall. This three are very powerful. Sadhu, very good.
Thank you, Vaidya.
Thank you. Let us rejoice with the good sharing from Sister Amy and also Miss Lee earlier created some good condition. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.